Amen. Amen. We certainly praise God for his precious word given unto his precious dear ones. Everyone, the elect of God, is precious. Indeed. Precious. Beloved. Eternally loved. Amen. The things and the courses of life, amen, are design of God. And the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God, which Elder Liverman is about to bring to us from the revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul for the grace church, which is Christ's body, amen, informs us of it all that God intends for us to know. Who we are, what we have, what we can expect. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. All right, so without any further ado, and we can't con Elder. He knows the clock. He knows 5 minutes already gone from our usual start time. So we can't look at him funny and think that he's going to quit and save some minutes. So let's receive Elder William Liverman and the gospel of the grace of God with a very hearty amen.
Grace and peace. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Grace and peace. Amen. God is good. Amen. Everyone excited about Jesus? Amen. He calls you to be here. And somebody said, oh, no, I got it on my own strength. Who gave it to you? See, people say, y'all think that it's like, it's got to be something other than Jesus. What is it? What is it? Amen. I mean, like we always say, if you finish talking about Jesus, time to go home. Amen. Because it's him we live and move and we are. And I know the King James that we have our being, but look at that in Greek. We are. Well, we're in him. Every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, kindness, and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Oh, God, bless your people today, even those that are here, those that are on their way, Father. We thank you for the grace of God. We thank you for our gospel. Lord, right now we ask for the revelation of the Spirit. Oh, God, bless your people today, Father. Oh, God, bring life. Bring life to your word. Only by the revelation of the teacher, Holy Spirit is our teacher. And we call it upon, according to your will, Father, that you lead and direct us in terms of what to be said today. Continue to bless our pastor as he continues to recover. We thank you, Lord, for even those continue to pray for my mother of the church, Mother Nellis. And amen. Thanks for Aunt Marlene, who's recovering from surgery. Oh, God, we even pray for our brothers and sisters and other overseas, Father, in other countries, Pakistan, Asia, India. Oh, God, we ask that you will strengthen their hearts, even in times of persecution. But we thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen. Let's go. I'm going to call the text, right? Amen. You can call the text. We're going to go right back. Let me say this. What we're going to do, church, and I felt led to do this, the document, in fact, for those that, I just say this now, you should have a document. Everyone should have a document, okay? This document has, that Pastor wrote a few years ago, the distinction between time and eternity. This document is actually a full page, 3 pages. And you know, I was reading the other day, it stated that 90% of people not only have a computer, but they have a printer. Amen. You can print these documents, church. We don't mind giving them to you, but amen. I know most of you have a printer in the house. Amen. Not only this, but anytime you study, print the document out. But for those that do not, for whatever reason, don't have a printer, the document that you have, this is the third page, okay? And the first 3 words should be time must never. At the top left, that should be the document that we're going to cover today. This is the last document in that sermon series, distinction between time and eternity. But Deacon Gavin is our reader. Before we do that, let's go right into our scripture. Because what we're going to do, for those that may, this is the third time I've been a minister on this section, the distinction between time and eternity. For anyone that not here, I'm going to take about 20 minutes and do like a brief review. And then we can go into the document and cover 2 or 3 other things, and that'll be it for today. But for the scripture today, Deacon Gavin is our reader. Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Deacon Gavin, you can read that in King James as well as the Interlinear Greek. Amen? Again, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10.
We're reading first from the King James Version, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now from the interlinear Greek text, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace ye are having been saved.
Church, do you see that? Ye are, somebody say, are you saved today? Yes. Why are you saved? Yeah, not because you spoke in tongues, because you did anything in time. Ye are because ye were. You are saved in time because you were first saved when? In eternity. Keep going, Deacon, please.
Ye are having been saved through faithfulness, and this not of you, of God the gift, not of works, lest anyone may boast. For of him we are a product, created in Christ Jesus unto works good, which previously prepared God in order that in them we might walk, having walked.
Church, we've already gone through the exegesis of this, but I want you to focus in on what Deacon Gavin read in the interlinear Greek, where he states that the works which were previously prepared. In manifestation, church, everything has been previously prepared. Those frames, those the sequential testimony depictions that we experience in time have been previously prepared. They're all complete. They are fulfilled. So somebody said, well, what about something that I just discovered yesterday? But just because you discovered that today or tomorrow, it doesn't mean that it wasn't there. Your consciousness moved into that frame. But it was already there in eternity. Who placed it there? God did. In eternity. But the most important thing that God placed in eternity was your salvation. He placed salvation in eternity. It manifests in those frames in time. So in essence, everything that God did for you, church, has been previously prepared. So don't beat yourself up and say, oh, I made a dumb mistake and all of this. That dumb mistake was previously prepared for God's what? Purpose. Now, let's move into this further. Because here's the problem that a lot of people, God's people, they confuse eternity with time. Now, we can go into the document, but we're going to do a little review first. Now, notice, everything is already done, church. Not trying to get done. It's already done. Go to Colossians, please. 1:16. Read that in the interlinear Greek. The King James, they blew it on one word here. Colossians 1:16.
Now, we're reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 16, interlinear Greek text. You want me to read King verse?
Yeah, read King James and Greek. We have time for that.
First, the King James Version, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Yeah, that's true, but it's not deep. It goes further than that, church. Yes, all things were created by God, but now that doesn't, it's like, well, it was created by God, okay? All right, but let's see what is in the, let's go to the exegesis, the actual interlinear Greek, especially that word, you know I want that word. Let's read this in the interlinear, in the Greek text, please.
Now Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, from the interlinear Greek text. Because in him were created all things, in the heavens and on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, all things through him and for him have been created.
Everything, church, has been created by God. Let me ask you a question. Is time a creation? We know what that is. Time was created by God. Now, look, time was created by God. Notice, Deacon Gavin just read, everything was created in him, in the Greek. Everything is created in him, which means time created by God, time is in God. Since God controls time, he controls all the events that align with time. Everything in the time capsule, church, is controlled by God. He created time. So how in the world can, because God created time, but there's some events out here that he doesn't control. See, the problem with God, a lot of God's people, some crazy experience we have, whatever it is, death of a loved one, problem with the spouse, sickness, financial issue, you look at that thing as if it's something that happened. That situation is in God for a purpose for your good. Somebody said, how can I get anything good out of this? If there wasn't anything good, why did it exist? Why did it appear? Somebody said, I don't understand. Well, the issue is that what? Well, no, you understand now. The issue is that what? It's God's purpose. Now, everything is in God. What we did, we gave some examples for those that weren't here to give testimony of the fact that God controls all events, and he does things when he wants to do, how he wants, and when, where, all what? According to God's purpose. Now, for those that weren't here, we gave an example of time, and I know a couple of people looked and said, what? When I made this statement that, in fact, right now, again, we're reviewing a little bit, that the oldest person in the world, not in the United States now, in the world today, is a young lady that lives in Inkster, Michigan. Her name is Geraldine Talley. She was 116 years old on May 23rd. Now, here's the point. In terms of what? What shows in time? These increments, yes, God has allocated her, what? 116 years plus now, right? For what? For testimonial sake. But now, if you're looking at this from the eternal view, because there's no time sequencing in eternity. In fact, there's no time in eternity. Eternity is all one now. But now are we in Christ Jesus. So in terms of sequentially, because there are no sequences in eternity, right? There is no difference between, I believe somewhere in Detroit, there's a baby just born, what, right now, a second old. There's no difference between that baby, young boy or girl, that's 1 second old than Geraldine Taylor, who's 116 years old. And somebody say, I'm sorry, Lord. Al, you must have ate too much pizza last night. No, I didn't. No. In terms of what? Eternity. There's no time. So there's no difference between the oldest person and the youngest. Because it's all what? One now. The word we walk in here, that time is gone. So you cannot put time fragments on eternity. In essence, and again, for sequential testimonial sake, yes, in those frames, yes, she's been around 116 years. In fact, they right now there are more people that's moving to age 100 than ever before. Wonderful. But that's nothing compared to eternity. What is 12? Y'all help me out. What's 1,200 months? 12 months in a year, right? 100 years, 1,200 months. So, in essence of eternity, now, because God controls time, everything associated with the events in time he controls. We gave an example of Genesis 5:24. We're not going to go there. You can write this down. We gave an example of all the loins of Adam, how they all, you know, they all died, and what happened to Enoch. The Bible tells in Genesis 5:24 that God took him. Enoch never saw death. In other words, God just what? Took him. God moved his conscience from what? Time to eternity. Now, you can say that's a type of the rapture. I love that. What is the rapture, church? We are in Christ. But the Bible says that what? One day the dead in Christ shall rise first. In other words, God is going to move our conscience from what? The earth to eternity where it's always have been. That is where? In Christ. So Enoch, somebody said, well, why didn't God, what, let Enoch die the normal way? See, you're trying to put God in a box. God does what he wants to do. We gave another example, 2 Kings 2, verses 11. The prophet Elijah, God showed him that he was going to, his day was what? It's coming. And what happened? God caught him in a chariot in fire, and what? He zoomed from the earth. God moved his conscience. Elijah basically disappeared. He didn't see death. Let's notice about purpose. Then God's purpose for Elijah was fulfilled as well as Enoch. What happened? God removes him. Why are you still here? You heard the saying, God's not finished with me. He still has something for you to do. When that purpose, when that job is fulfilled, you out, church. But why did God get people get depressed? Oh, no. That should be good news. Out of here, church. Out of calamity, heartache, trouble. Out of here. But in time, as we walk through time, you are still the victor. How many know if you're in Christ, you still win? Hallelujah. Amen. You still win. So, in essence there, God just what? When Elijah's purpose was fulfilled. Now, I thought about something that I didn't mention last week. It was interesting. God had, when Elijah's ministry was fulfilled. What? Time was up. And who did God have behind Elijah? Elisha! When Moses' ministry was fulfilled, when the purpose of Moses was fulfilled, boom, God took Moses out of here. Who? Joshua. Right? And I thought about this. Many of you here came from Emmanuel, and you were really blessed with Pastor Colbert. But when Pastor passed 31 years, and Pastor Colbert's purpose was fulfilled, what happened? God raised up Pastor Cutler. So in essence, church, you are here, and you don't have to worry about, how am I going to leave here? It's all according to God. Everything is according to God. And you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is in God's hands. Amen? So God controls time. Another example we gave. Philip preached the kingdom gospel. Go over there in Acts 8:35. We're not going to go there because we have to do some other things today. But if you know the story, the eunuch, Philip preached the kingdom gospel. And what happened? The eunuch got baptized. The natural man said, Philip's got to preach his kingdom gospel in some other cities. In the next verse, God moved Philip's conscience from there to Azotus, another city. Why? His purpose in that city, what, was fulfilled. When your purpose, church, he works everything according to his eternal purpose. We gave another example of Jesus on a boat. Well, he was on a boat, and by the way, they were rowing that boat, and Jesus appeared unto them. And by the way, the Bible says it was so many furlongs, and I did a little research. It was like between 3 and 4 miles. They were rowing that boat. Now, basically, I've been on a boat before. You start rowing the boat so many times, you get tired. And the Bible says at one point, the boat appeared immediately into the... That boat just moved past, who knows, trees and frames, and just appeared on land. Why? According to God's purpose. Another example we mentioned was the situation where Jesus preached the gospel, and they got mad, and they didn't want to throw him off the cliff. See? And the Bible says Jesus eased by them. What happened? He moved past some frames, and before they knew it, Jesus disappeared, and he was somewhere else. Why? All of these churches are what? Testimonies that God controls time. Let me ask you a question. Is your life embedded in time? You know, manifestation-wise, it is. That being the case, everything you're going through, church, God controls. When things appear out of control, he still controls. When things appear crazy, they're still in order. When things appear to be out of order, going all in different directions, you know the matrix, things moving zigzag, you know, everything seems to be crazy. They're all moving according to God's eternal purpose. Amen. Now, let's go into the document. Amen? We're right on schedule. Let's go to the document. Trust everyone. Now, we're going to read this. I think everyone has this. All right. What about time and eternity? Because we pray, the prayer is that God's people will have clarity on the difference between time and eternity. Begin reading. Time must never be viewed as an equal component with eternity. Even though both are currently coexistent, time has both beginning and ending, but eternity has neither. Time moves from the future to the present to the past, but eternity is constant. When the future terrain of time has passed through its present mode, nothing will be left to flow through its now. Time will have run out of time. Time will have run out of time. And nothing will be left but eternal constancy. As God's eternality must be viewed from the perspective of quality, endurance that is immeasurable, rather than quantity duration that is measurable. The life given by God to the elect must be viewed from the same perspective. Although the elect of God are creatures in the sphere of time, they currently possess and shall possess life that excels beyond their depraved, earthly, dying bodies. Our mercy. The expression in Titus 3:7 conveys that having been declared righteous by his grace, heirs we may be, having been, oh God, according to the hope of eternal life. To correctly say that this new life begins with a new birth actually references the actuation of the new creation that came into existence in eternity rather than the manifestation of such testimony in time. Stop your church. See that? Everything, church, is according to God in eternity. Eternity was here before time. Time is a creation. Let's continue reading. To say otherwise is at its worst half-truth and at its best insane, as this life comes from God who is eternal life. Now, strictly from a human point of view, this life stretches backward into the past, 2 Timothy 1:9, as much as forward into the future, 1 Timothy 4:8. But the elect to whom grace was given in Christ before the world began will live forever, oh glory, as God's eternal purpose cannot be regarded as a lifeless foreordination. Deistic ideas can arise only out of an ill-balanced and unhealthy over-concentration of the aspect of man's view of eternity. Thus, the eternal decree must be regarded as being as much alive and relevant today and tomorrow as it was yesterday, because God inhabits eternity. Last paragraph. If God were not eternal, there would be no eternal covenant of grace by which unilaterally the eternal God alone makes and maintains it. If God's eternality could be measured, he would not be immense, immutable, and perfect. Eternal life obtained by grace is the greatest of all, qualitatively and quantitatively. It is the quality of this life that gives it quantity. Although all believers are in this world of time, by grace they are not of this world of time. Church, come on. Let's read this one more time. Although all believers are in this world of time, by grace they are not of this world of time. I'm sorry, in time, but not of this world of time. In that their fortune is not inexhaustible duration, but eternal life, which is timeless, church, timeless. Finally, when God's elect passes out of time into eternity, the manifested extensity of this life's experience in all time will be realized through the actualized intensity in eternity. You see, church, what you are going through, somebody say, you know, the big raise you got in the job, or the pink slip you got in the job. The situation may be a situation in the person's relationships. Whatever you go through, what happened? It's all according to God. You saw that, but it was there all the time. See? Now, if you look at time, see, God gave some light in this in the old writings, but they didn't understand what they read. And what happened, you have to understand your gospel. You have to go to what? The revelation of mystery to understand what God said in other dispensations. Let's look at something. It's quite interesting here. I want you to go to the book of, let's do some little teaching here. Let's go, and this all deals with time. Let's go to Psalms, Deacon Gavin, read Psalms chapter 9 and verse 1 through 4. And we can prove you here that, in this case, David didn't know what in the world he was talking about. Somebody say he wrote it. Well, a lot of they wrote it. Most of the things they didn't understand what they wrote. But God breathed upon them to what? Write according to his purpose. Deacon Gavin's reading in Psalms chapter 9 and verse 1 through 4.
Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth. and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God.
Mm-hmm.
Thou turnest man to destruction and savest. Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday,
what?
When it is past, and as a watch in the night.
1,000 years is as but yesterday. There's no doubt that I weren't there, but there's no doubt that I'm sure David pondered that verse many times. What in the world? How can 1,000 years be like yesterday? That doesn't make sense. Let's keep moving forward. Let's go to 2 Peter 3:8. 2 Peter 3:8. Again, we're still talking about time and eternity. God is not locked in time, church. It's what we do, the body of Christ, what we do many times, we limit ourselves in time, and so we think God must be limited in time. God created time. And he put things in time according to his purpose. So whatever you went through yesterday was already there.
Second Peter chapter 3, verse 8, mm-hmm. King James Version. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
Church, do you see? Now, based on the information in the Kingdom Gospel, I'm sure that Peter many times wondered, wait a minute, what? How can... Now, by the way, it didn't say 1,000 years is equal to what? A day. It says as. It's as, in other words, 1,000 years is as one day. Now, someone help me out. Someone even by the internet land. How can you explain this outside the mystery? It's impossible to explain this outside of the mystery. But what it is, church, 1,000 years is as yesterday. You see, from what we understand in our contract, the Grace Covenant, God is timeless. And God, everything God does is driven by purpose. So going back to Miss Talley, God doesn't have to give everybody 116 years to realize his purpose. God can compress those frames to 1 second and it'll still be what? His purpose. So in essence, and I made a statement when I up there, I mentioned sometimes the frames seem to be standing still or moving. The frames don't move. Our conscience moves. The frames were previously placed. And God answered my prayer yesterday. That prayer was already in that frame. Your consciousness moved there, and wow, the answer came. It was already there in eternity. Oh, 10 years ago, I went to church, and I got the essay. That experience was already there. You just moved to that frame. It was already there. Church, this takes the pressure out of life. Everything was previously placed. But in essence here, God can compress for his purpose 1,000 years to what? One. He can fulfill that in what? A second. Because he's timeless. And what happened is that when these things happen, when God's people don't understand time, you know what happened? Or eternity. They'll come up with things. Such, I've been at funerals where they'll say, he or she, they died before their time. You heard that? No. Their time was fulfilled. I don't care if it was 1 year, 1 day, 10, whatever. Their time was fulfilled. And if you don't look at this from eternity, you will say, wow, they didn't have some, I heard stories. Oh, they never had a chance to go to school, Pastor. They'll say, I never had a chance to, you know, to go to work. You know, when a young one passes, their purpose is fulfilled. The experiences in life that we go through is there for purpose. You know, I thought about something. I was watching some of that. Think about, look at God's purpose. I was watching, God's people, God calls more suffering for some of his elect than others. Come on, church. According to purpose. I was so moved with Vice President Biden. I think you know the story. Lost his son, Bo, 46 years of age. And, wow, the Vice President, his first wife, got killed in a car. You know, come on, church. Got killed in a car accident. Not only did the first wife got killed in a car accident, his daughter was only a year old. got killed. The wife and the daughter. And they had a service for the son. But yesterday. But here's the wonderful thing about God's grace. You have someone, somebody say, I'm going through. Well, I don't know about most people, God's people have not lost what? A wife? A daughter? What? And a son. Brain cancer. But it's amazing. It's amazing. See, when we mention a person, we always point to Christ. Because any good thing that God calls us to do, it's not about us. Everything is about Christ. But I thought about interesting. The vice president is one person in Congress, they'll say, who always has a loving attitude. It's like he can make people happy. And that's what Vice President Biden. God, for whatever God causes him to look beyond, what? The death of the loved ones. To know that there's something beyond this. If you know, I mean, he laughs, he lies. I mean, even the Congress and the Senate, he's the go-to person to get things done. In spite of all the tragedies he went through. What happened? According to God. Everything is according to God. So the daughter, who was what, 1 year? I think, yeah, a year old. Her purpose was fulfilled. And church, if you don't look at life this way, you would look at things and try to figure things out in the natural. You cannot answer questions in the physical. You need to answer what drives that situation, and it's all by purpose. Everything is driven. Everything is according to God. So I made another statement. So I mentioned another example how when be looking at God's purpose for a life, sometimes people, you know, sometimes you go through a spiritual, and it seems like you're at a standstill in your life. God, you may be on rest. That frame is there, and it's not going to move until God moves it. And in some case, a person may come to life and zoom, they go on 1,000,000 miles an hour, what? And then they're out of here. According to God's purpose. I'll do a little history over the week. One thing about Grace Gospel, we don't get into politics through a bit. We do it mere fellowship, but I think this is appropriate. I was looking at the life of Martin Luther King, who, at that time, won the Nobel Peace Prize. 35 years old. Boom! And all of a sudden, it did so much, and his last speech, my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. It was like age 39, he was in here, did a lot, and what? Out of here. In other words, his consciousness moved through those frames, out of here. You've seen people, it's like some people just move like a turtle. God is there for purpose. Other people, it's like they're here and gone through, and what? They're out. Every life is according to God. Now, having said that, church, God controls time. Every event that is in time, he has it there for a purpose. Things just don't happen. There's a purpose behind everything. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. You know, we talk about moving, your conscience moving. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 10. Deacon Gavin, I want you to read verse 1 through 9 in the King James, and read verse 10 in the interlinear Greek. We all know the story. Paul caught up. We all know the story. Third heaven. But let's look at something here. Our mercy. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 10, and Deacon Gavin's going to read verse 10 in the interlinear Greek. Okay, let's look at something else here. Okay, amen.
Now we're reading from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1 through 9 from the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Mm-hmm. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities.
My infirmities, yes.
For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given
stop,
to
me. Let's talk for 1 second. No, church. God took the Apostle Paul to move his conscience from where? The earth to the third heaven. And somebody said, oh, hallelujah, that's wonderful. Lord, give that to me. Wait a minute, but there's a price Paul paid for that. Hello, church. God moved him. He saw something. We can say today, the English language was not strong enough to describe what he saw.
And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now verse 10 from the
Greek
text. Wherefore, I am well pleased in weaknesses, in insults,
yes,
in necessities,
yes,
in persecutions,
yes,
and difficulties on behalf of Christ. Whenever, for I am weak, then powerful I am.
Notice, God took Paul to the highest height. Amen. But to the highest height, he came in terms of what? The manifestation in time, what? A thorn in the flesh. To what? Buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure. Let's see, church, how many know we all to praise? Hello, church. Some people think, well, we all to praise, but the writers of the Bible weren't. Come on. You don't go there. Paul was to praise, church, and God, can you, based upon what God showed him, and by the way, years ago we had in a professing class, pastor, I totally agree, concur, that nobody, the Bible doesn't say what Paul saw. But with the knowledge that we have, he said the revelation, I totally agree, the body of Christ. God probably showed the Apostle Paul the wonderful body of Christ. He's the head. We're the members in this glory body, this wonderful spiritual organism, the body of Christ that was formed in eternity before the foundation of the world. And it was so beautiful that Paul couldn't even explain it. But then God, on the other hand, he gave him a thorn in the flesh. God moved his conscience, because again, God is not captivated by time, church. God moved his conscience from the earth to the third heavens, to eternity, really. Well, by the way, is the body of Christ a component of time or eternity? Come on, you know that we were chosen by Christ before the foundation of the world, in eternity. And that's one problem. I notice when we get letters from the brethren in other countries, that's one question that we usually receive in terms of salvation. Many of them have salvation in time. We were saved before the foundation of the world. Not a worse, lest any man should boast. But the Apostle Paul saw the glorious. Whatever he saw, it was so glorious you couldn't explain it. But the other end, God, what? Yeah, humble him. Because you know how depraved the worship. Let's say one day, now you know Paul had a lot of problems with the churches, right? And let's say one day somebody was giving Paul a hard time. You know we all depraved. There's no doubt the temptation would be that, who? No. Paul was, you know, who are you? Look what God did for me. You know, come on. I mean, we all depraved. So God, it's a purpose for what? The thorn in the flesh. It just didn't come on its own. It came to Paul for purpose. In time. But it was decreed in eternity. The what? The glorious body of Christ. Amen. Now,
What about time? We gave you testimony of many things that occurs in time, right? If you can close on this, about 8 minutes here. But in time, God controls time. He controls events in time. But what about time? Now, you know, we just read from the pastor's document here that time is one day going to run its course. But let's go here. What about time? Let's go to Revelation chapter 10, Deacon Gavin. Read verse 6, please. Revelation chapter 10, verse 6. If you can close on one more thing on this word, time. Revelation 10, 6, please.
Now we're reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 10, verse 6, King James Version. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no more.
Oh, there shall be time no more. Church, when time has run its course, there be the time no more. Now, someone say, why would God get rid of time? Well, understand purpose. When the purpose of anything has been fulfilled, what does God do? He removes it. Time is here because God has a purpose for time. When time has run its course, God will what? Remove time, and we'll be what? In the eternality without time. Time will be no more. But this word time, it kind of, you know what? It kind of confuses, messes a lot of people. Their cogitation, God's people so wrapped into down here in the earth that they lose the focus on the wonderful abode we have. Amen. When we're out of here. Now, just bear with me, because I ran some statistics here. I ran some statistics. You know, I love data. And just bear with me here. I ran some statistics. And right now in the United States, let's look at some data. Right now, women live a little longer than men. Amen. The average age, let's look at all genders, and I'm not talking about other countries. You know, in some places, the lifespan is shorter. But in some cases, maybe longer. But let's say the United States, the average lifespan is like 78.6 years. But for basic numerics, let's say 80. Let's say 80. Let's use the number 80. If you are 25 years old, if a person is 25 years old, you have lived 32% of your life. And somebody said, oh, that's good. I got a long time. Okay. I'm not finished. If you are 50 years old, come on, church. Some of y'all know where I'm going, right? If you are 50 years old, you have lived 63% of your life. You only have 37% left. Come on, y'all. I'm not finished. If you are 65 years old. Now, you know, they call it the golden age. You know, come on. You know, I love my AARP discount, right? You know you get 65. No, ARP, I think it's 50 now, right? But anyway, if you are 65 years old, you have lived 82% of your life. You got 18% left. If you are 70 years old, you have lived 88% of your life. If you are 75 years old, you have lived 94% of your life. And one more. And I'm using this from an earthly term. Somebody said, if you were 85 years old, you're living on borrowed time. No, you're not. No, you heard it. You're not living on borrowed time. That's a worldly term. If you are 85, 90, that is the time that God gives you according to purpose. But you say borrowed time, you put in an element that you have some control in that. No, there's no such thing as borrowed time. That's a man term. But looking at these percentages, now I'm going to close on this. See, you are, say, 50, 65, 82, 88%. Somebody, now I'm going to say, I'm not talking about grace gospel. If any of God's people say, Elder, you talking about I don't have a 12% left? Please jump to another subject. This is depressing. Wait a minute. What do you mean this is depressing? To know that you're almost out of here? We're going to close on this verse. Go to Romans 8, please. Go to Romans 8, Go to Romans 8. See, that's the whole, let me say this. When I went over those percentages, if for any reason there was an element of, I would say depression, but unhappiness, or, oh, Lord, this is bad, you're more captivated by time than eternity. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Look at this. Now, Paul's going to mention time, this last verse. We'll close on this. Deacon Gavin, go right here, please. Verse 8, 18. I believe that's Romans 8, 18. King, yes, please. King James and Greek.
Now we're reading from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter and the 18th verse, first from the King James Version. Paul writes, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time..."
Wait a minute. Paul's the sufferings of this present time. Now, you know Paul is in, you know, he is in what, manifestation. You know he's not in actualization, because there's no what, suffering in what, eternity. So Paul is known as, I'm going to go real slow. He's the suffering of this what? Present time, where does this occur? This present evil age. Which anything can go down in this present evil age. Keep going, Deacon Gavin, please.
"The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us."
Now, do you read it in the Greek?
Not yet.
Okay, please, Greek.
Now, chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 18, from the interlinear Greek text. "I reckon for that not worthy the sufferings of the now time to be compared or be compared with the coming glory to be revealed to us."
The coming glory
to having been revealed,
church. Mm-hmm. That is the key. In summary, everything in time is controlled by God. God has a course for every person here, and that course will be fulfilled according to purpose. And when that course has been fulfilled, God will remove you here. Now, some of you, if it takes you living 100 years, wonderful. If it takes you whatever it takes you, but whatever you are at this point, it is what? There for purpose. Now you understand why some of you escaped some of those crazy things you've been through in the past. How many of you have escaped accidents in the past? Some of you may have escaped gunshot wounds. Gunshot people shoot, whatever. But God has brought you here not on your own, but according to purpose. And those percentages I gave you, especially when you were 70, you know, that's another age people focus on now. They call 70 the new 90. 88%. That means, church, good news, because the suffering of this present time, absent from the body, pleading with the Lord, one day, all the heartache, the pain, the suffering will be over. All the frustration, one day. No matter all the temporary things that happen, like kids, the husband, the wife, one day, no more arthritis, no more headache, one day, no more frustration, one day, it will be eradicated from the time capsule, one day, no more suffering, no more heartache, we will be where we always have been, that is, in Christ. So, when we see these numbers, you should not be sad, you should be happy to know that one day, Lord, it's almost here, you're almost here, one day, I shall be glorified. You are glorified in eternity. One day, it shall manifest in time. So, essence, church, rejoice. Lift up your head. One day, we're almost out of here. What gives us this hope? The gospel of the grace of God. The only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.